Welcome to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. We pray that this message will strengthen and encourage you. Now, here's a message from Pastor Dan Roth.
Amen. Tonight, grab your Bibles and go with me to the book of 2 Kings. We're going to be in 2 Kings, the third chapter, and not really get out of the third chapter tonight. And we may quote some scriptures here and there as we go along, but really we're going to focus in on what God has to say to us in 2 Kings, the third chapter. You may know this chapter. It might be a familiar chapter. It's kind of a fun chapter when you take a look at what happens in it. But the title of tonight's message is Life in the Trenches. Life in the trenches. Some of us, as we go throughout life, we feel like we're in the trenches. Can I hear an amen on that? Some of you guys said, I just got out of the trench. I didn't think I was going to have to go back into it when I got into church tonight, Pastor. But hey, you're going to find out what that means as we go along. 2 Kings, the third chapter. Let me describe the scene to you. We're going to set up the story, what's going on. There's the nation of Israel separated into two kingdoms at this time. There's a northern kingdom and there's the southern kingdom. Northern kingdom is called Israel. Southern kingdom is called Judah. Now, there was another nation called Moab that was subject to the nation of Israel. Now, Moab decided to rebel. They were supposed to bring tribute. They were supposed to bring a bunch of lambs and they were supposed to bring a bunch of skins to them and hundreds of thousands of them every year, and they decided, you know what, we're not putting up with this. The guard has changed from father to son, now to brother, and we're just done with this, and we're not going to pay tribute any longer. And so they saw their opportunity, they seized that opportunity, and they rebelled. King of Israel says, I can't have this going on. I need to go up against them. I need to fight against them. They need to be subject to me, otherwise, you know, this isn't looking good for us. So what does he do? He goes down to the southern tribe, to Judah's king, who was a godly king. Okay, now the kingdom of Israel never had a godly king, all right? They were all wicked. So this is an ungodly young king. And he says, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do this by myself. I need somebody to go and help me fight. So he goes down to Judah, who has a godly king by the name of Jehoshaphat. Okay? Jehoshaphat. You guys know him. He's a great king, godly man. But he had one problem, which was that he was always willing to link up with Israel, who were ungodly. And so here he comes down. He comes down to Jehoshaphat. And he says, will you go with me to fight against Moab? He says, hey, as you are, I am. As my people are, your people are. My horse is your horses. So what are we going to do? And so they start talking about it and they say, well, we need to go down. We need to fight against them. We pick up the story in 2 Kings, the third chapter, verse number 9. 2 Kings, the third chapter. And if you want to read the whole story, you can start in verse 1. Maybe later on during the week, get a hold of that. But 2 Kings, the third chapter, verse number 9, take a look at it with me. It says, so the king of Israel went with the king of Judah and the king of Edom. Okay, now Edom was subject to those kings, and so they went along with them. And look at what it says. And they marched on that roundabout route 7 days, and there was no water for the army, nor the animals that followed them. Now, they could have gone the easy route. They could have went into Moab from the northern part and just walked straight in, would have had this problem. But they decided they were going to surprise them and hit them at a weak point. So these three kings gather up, they all come together, and they go in this big roundabout way to get to them. And they have to go all the way south and then come back up, and they're coming facing them from the east. And so as they're coming up, they realize that they're in a barren land. It's desert, and there's no water, and so now they're in the middle of a predicament. Verse number 10 comes along and says this, and the king of Israel said, alas, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. Verse number 11, Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet of the Lord here that we may inquire of the Lord by him? So one of the servants of the king of Israel answered and said, Elisha, the son of Shaphat, is here, who poured water on the hands of Elijah. Now what he's saying right there is he's saying this was the servant of Elijah, the great prophet. Surely you've heard of the great prophet Elijah. His servant is here now because Elijah had been carried up by the chariots of fire into heaven. But his servant, the one who poured water on his hands, now he's here. Take a look at what Jehoshaphat says. He says in verse 12, and Jehoshaphat said, the word of the Lord is with him. So the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, the king of Edom, went down to him. Now this is very unusual for kings to do this. I want you to notice something. They didn't call for him and say he should come up to us. These three kings humbled themselves and went down to the man of God. That was unheard of. See, because kings in that day, they were the king, they were the ruler, they were the one who, when I call, you answer. So now here they are humbling themselves and going to the man of God. Now take a look at what happens when they get there. Verse 13, then Elijah said to the king of Israel, what have I to do with you, Go to the prophets of your father and the prophets of your mother. Now, can I just break this down in San Bernardino terminology for you all? You want to know what he just said in our modern day present vernacular? Well, I can't really, no, I'm just kidding. No, he said, you're going to come to me now? You're worshiping other gods and you want to inquire of the Lord by me? No. Go back and talk to your own people, basically. That's what he said. He said, I ain't got time for these games. You know, you're going to come down here, you're going to try and talk to me and get the word of the Lord from me when you worship Baal? Ain't no way. Now, look at what the rest of the verse says. Says, go to the prophets of your father and prophets of your mother. But the king of Israel said to him, no, for the Lord has called these three kings together to deliver them into the hand of Moab. So here comes the king of Israel. And what does he do? He blames God for the predicament that they're in. Now, I find it very interesting that an ungodly person who worships another god wants to blame the Lord for his problems. Am I right? Some of you guys have been around people like that, you know? Something bad happens. Oh, the God's being mean. You know, God killed that person. God put sickness on that person. God did this. I'm in this predicament because of God. And you said, you know what? You had no relationship with God before the problem. Now, all of a sudden, you want to come and talk to God about your problem, and you want to blame him for it. It's lunacy. However, not once, think about it for a second, there was a godly king that was there. And not once do we hear that Jehoshaphat had inquired of the Lord until they were in the time of need. Many of us today, including Pastor Dan, who's talking to you right now, do not ask God what he thinks about something until we get into a problem. I know many times I've been in that place. God, I'm in the middle of a sticky situation. What do I do? And God says, well, if you would have talked to me first, you wouldn't have been in this sticky situation. Right, here comes the king of Israel talking to Jehoshaphat. The first question should have been, Lord, should I go with him? Hello? And if God said yes, the next thing is, what way should we go? Should we march right in or should we go around this way? Because see, they could have avoided this situation. If God said, go right in, I'm going to deliver them into your hand. They could have marched right in and accomplished what they needed to accomplish. And yet, it wasn't until they got into a sticky situation, into a dry and weary land, that they finally inquire of the Lord. Sometimes we forget to connect with God until the adversity is upon us. Church, we need to connect with God each and every day. Every day we need to be in the face of God. Every day we need to be asking God, God, what do you think about this? God, I've got this decision coming up. God, I got a meeting coming up. God, I don't know what to say to my children. They're coming to me with these issues. God, what do I say to them? When the friends come over and their life is a mess, God, how do I handle that? God, what do I say to them? How do I minister to them? See, we need to be asking God questions and listening for his answers. That was a good place for an amen. Lack and need will push some away from God and others to God. Notice the king of Israel, when lack and need hit him, what did he say? He said, the Lord has delivered us, right? It pushed him away from God. He got mad at God. But Jehoshaphat did something different. Lack and need drew him to God. See, before we get too hard on Jehoshaphat for not inquiring of the Lord, thank God he went and inquired of the Lord. Are you listening? That was the first thing out of his mouth. We got a problem? Isn't there a prophet here? Isn't there somebody who can tell us the word of God? Isn't there somebody who knows something about God around this place? That was the first thing he did. Church, when you get into a sticky situation, first thing out of your mouth should be, what is the will of the Lord? This is how tonight's message is going to be, by the way. We're just going to pull truth out as we go. 2 Kings 3, verse number 14 comes along. And look at this. Look at this. It says, and Elijah said, as the Lord of hosts lives before whom I stand, surely were it not that I regard the presence of Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, I would not look at you nor see you. I just love that attitude. I love the fact that he has no problem telling the king what he thinks of him. He says, you would not have gotten an appointment on my books had it not been for this godly man right here. See, we got to be careful who we link up with. We got to make sure that in our life that we're staying strong in the way of the Lord, because God respects those who respect him. God gives ear and attention to those who have their inattention towards him. See, God looks at the people who disdain him, the people who are proud and the people who are arrogant and don't look at him. And he says, I wouldn't even given you an appointment. I wouldn't have talked to you. I wouldn't have looked at you, except that you're coming along. You're yoked up with this guy over here, Jehoshaphat. He's a godly, righteous man. Verse number 15, but now bring me a musician. Then it happened when the musician played that the hand of the Lord came upon him. Isn't that neat? I love that verse. Today, driving in the car home, I was listening to some music, just some praise and worship music, and the Spirit of God was just moving and just touching me. Sometimes we come into church, we wonder why we do praise and worship before. It's because it opens our hearts and gets us into the presence of God. God inhabits the praises of his people, and it just washes away, and it gets us into a place where now the Spirit of God can come upon us. God can speak to us. He's got our attention. Now, the distractions of the day. See, Elijah was probably pretty mad that he was staring at an ungodly king. Why are you here? And yet when he got into the presence of God, now all of a sudden that was cleared away, and now he could hear from God. It goes on, verse number 16, and he said, thus says the Lord, make this valley full of ditches. Remember, we talked about life in the trenches tonight. Verse 17, for thus says the Lord, you shall not see wind, nor shall you see rain, yet that valley shall be filled with water, so that you, your cattle, and your animals may drink. Wow. So what does he say? He says, God's going to do something supernatural. God's going to make sure that you have everything that you have need of. You're in a predicament right now. There's no water. You're weary. You're going to get defeated if the enemy comes upon you in your present condition. You thought you were cool, you thought you had it going on, you thought you had the wisdom, and yet now you're in this spot, and yet God's not going to leave you here. Make this valley full of ditches, and you're not going to see wind, you're not going to see rain, but God's going to fill it with water. God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do something supernatural in your life. See, Elijah, when he went up on the mountain, what happened? He prayed, and what did they see? They saw a cloud far off. What happened? He heard the sound of the abundance of rain, and then he ran, and the waters came down, and pouring down, and he outran that chariot. There was rain that came on the land. See, they saw, they heard, and then it came. But he says, God's going to do a new thing. God's going to do something supernatural now. God's going to come and bring the water without any wind, without any rain. There's just going to be water pouring down. It's going to come out. You're not going to know how it comes. You're not going to know from where it came from. All you're going to know is that God did something in your life. See, it's easy for us to look for answers in the natural. Easy for us to say, I see how this is going to do this, and then that's going to go here, and then that's going to fund this, and you know what, I can see how when I talk to this person. Anybody like you know, you're about ready to go in a conversation, and you rehearse it in your head beforehand? My wonderful, beautiful wife is like that. She always tells me, okay, so what are you going to say? I say, I don't know. She says, no, here's what you should say. You should go in there, and you should tell him this, and then if he says this, then you can say that. Okay, but if he doesn't say this, then you know that you can say this way. I'm like, honey, leave me alone. I just am going to go in there and talk to him. I don't care what I say. We're just going to work this thing out. You know, that's how men do things. See, we like to calculate things out in the natural. Oh, I can do this, and if I do this, this is going to happen, that's going to happen. And then we go out and we try, and it all falls apart. God's saying, no, you're not going to see it. Not going to hear it. You're not going to know. I'm going to do it. I'm going to get the glory. I'm going to get the credit. I'm going to get the honor. Otherwise, you're going to think, oh, that just happened to be there. Oh, that was just circumstance. Oh, there was a seasonal rain that came through and it took care of us. We're all good. You know, that wasn't God. No, God says, I'm going to do something supernatural. In a dry and weary land, you will drink water from the ground. Look at what it says. So that you, your cattle, your animals may drink. Verse 18. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. Let me read that again. And this is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. Some of you guys came in here looking at your present need, and you think that it's so big that you don't know how you're going to get out of it. It's so dry, it's so weary, and you can't see the end in sight. And yet God is telling you tonight that this is a simple matter in his sight. That problem that you're facing, that's a little thing to God. That provision that you need, that's a little thing to God. Remember, they weren't on that road looking for water. They weren't on that road looking for water. They were on that road to go gain a victory over their enemies. And God says, your present need is a little thing. I knew the road that you were walking before you ever walked it. That's a small thing in my eyes. Miraculous is every day to God. God lives in the supernatural. God is supernatural. God has no problem doing the supernatural. What the problem is that we have a problem believing him for the supernatural, waiting on him for the supernatural, going after the supernatural. We get uneasy. We don't know what he's going to do. We don't know how he's going to do it. We don't know when he's going to do it. God, could you just pour out the blessing now? Because it's due, God. It's here. The bill is here. The time is now, God. And God's saying, just hold on. Just hang tight. This is a simple matter in the sight of the Lord. He will also, don't you love that he will also? He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. So you came asking me about water. I told you about the water. That's a simple thing. That's easy. But God's going to take care of the road that you're on too. God's going to take care of your destination. God's going to take care of the bigger picture. See, water is nothing to God. He can make it pour out of a rock. He can cause a river to flow. He can bring it up out of the deep. He can cause it to come down out of the sky. That's just a little thing to God. God could speak and that could exist. You're not facing just water. God could actually sustain you without water if he chose to. See, water is not the issue. The issue is that you're on an assignment, you're on a road, you're going in a direction, and there's an enemy out there to fight. And God says, there are people out there, there's an enemy out there, there's a war ahead of you, but guess what? I'm going to hand that to you too. See, that's the bigger matter, but I'll take care of that too. He will also deliver the Moabites into your hand. Verse number 19, also you shall attack every fortified city and every choice city and shall cut down every good tree and stop up every spring of water and ruin every good piece of land with stones. In other words, they were just going to wipe out the enemy. Wasn't going to be nothing left. There would be no question about the victory. There would be no doubt that God had delivered that victory into their hands. Verse number 20, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom. And the land was filled with water. Isn't that amazing? A couple of thoughts I want to bring out of this section of scripture. A couple of thoughts for tonight. First thought is that our blessing is received by faith in the word of God. Our blessing is received by faith in the word of God. See, many times we just go by what we see. We just go by what's in the natural. But church, I'm here to tell you, do not accept the present state of thirst and the present state of a dry desert land that you are sitting in the middle of. Some of you guys came in here tonight parched. Some of you guys came in here tonight and it was the last straw. You're just done. There's no more resource. There's no more energy. There's no more wisdom. There's no more understanding. There's nothing left. You are dried out. You've been running on E for long enough and now it has come to a screeching halt, right? And yet God is saying, don't look at the natural and don't settle for what's going on around you. Rise up in faith, church. When you have the word of God, you can believe God in faith and you can bring in the will and the way of God in your life, believing him for great things. Don't accept that dry and weary land. Start digging with faith for what God will do. In other words, prepare for the blessing. See, sometimes we're afraid to prepare for the blessing. Why? Because we'll get disappointed. I believed God before and it didn't work out. And so I'm afraid that if I pray and I ask God for something again, it won't happen. Prayed and I asked God for someone to get healed and they died. And now I'm afraid to pray for my own health. Prayed and I asked God for provision and we lost the house. And now I'm afraid to ask God for another house. Prayed and it didn't work out in the relationship and they walked. And now I'm afraid to ask God. I'm afraid to be happy because I don't know. See, church, you've got to get a hold of the word of God. And no matter what the circumstances say, no matter what happens on the earth, no, you do not look at those things. You start to prepare yourself for the blessing. Start digging. Get in faith. Believe God. Prepare. Make room in your life for the blessing of God. For some of you, that means you got to dig out the dirt that's up here in your mind, in your head, in your thinking. You got to start getting rid of that old stuff, that old man, that old doubt, that unbelief, and you got to start getting, listen, the Bible tells us that we are earthen vessels. See, some of us need to empty ourselves and prepare room for the blessing of God. God wants to pour water all inside of you. God wants to fill you up to overflowing. God wants to give you a fresh drink, and yet God can't get that in you until you make room for it. So you guys have been believing God for things. You know, I love this story of Pastor Jim when he was believing God for buses. He had a picture of a bus in his wallet. Everybody was mad at him because he didn't have pictures of his grandkids in there. He had a picture of a bus in there. He was believing God. Finally got the bus. Now we have a fleet of buses that's out there that's bringing people to church. See, you got to make room in your heart for the blessing. My wife and I believe in God, man. Freedom for our future. We're declaring every day that God is going to bring it into our hands. God's going to prosper our hand. God will bring it in. I'm praying for you every day. God, bring it into their hand, God. Lord, just bring it in. Bless them, Lord, as they're faithful to their tithe and offering. God, over and above that, over and above that, over and above that, bring in the freedom for our future offerings. We got 2 years and 2 months. This sucker's getting paid off. It's going to happen. Why? Because we've made room. See, if we wouldn't have made room, it wouldn't have happened. You got to start digging. Got to start believing God in faith. I love what Spurgeon said. He said, act not on the mere strength of what you have, but in expectation of that which you have asked. Expect great things from a great God. Let me read that to you again. Act not on the mere strength of what you have, but in expectation of that which you have asked. Expect great things from a great God. See, if you've asked God for a job, it's time to get dressed for work. I said get dressed for work. If you've asked God for a job, it's time to start digging. Time to start asking. Time to start showing up at the same time every day and say, may I speak to a manager? I know you told me no yesterday, but today's a new day. And maybe there's someone else I can talk to. See, start digging. Some of you guys have prayed for that godly man or woman. It's time to start getting yourself out there. Time to clean up, take a shower, gentlemen. Comb the hair, brush the teeth, shine the shoes, man. The girl is looking at the shoes. Can't take care of your shoes. What makes you think that you're going to take care of her, right? Come on, somebody. Come up smelling like a beach bum. She's going to send you back to the beach, you bum. But see, it's time. Go to the singles ministry. Start getting yourself out there. Some of you guys believe in God for a godly marriage. It's time to start pouring by faith into your marriage. Start to say, I love that woman as Christ loved the church. I love that man and I submit to him as the church is subject to Christ and all things. So am I subject to him. See, it's time to start making room. It's time to start digging. You want to have a godly family. It's time to start teaching your children the way of the Lord. Time to start digging, church. Time to start digging. Second thought I want to bring to you tonight is that our blessing and victory is connected to our faithfulness. Our blessing and victory is connected to our faithfulness. What do I mean by that? Our faithfulness. What do I mean by that? Our faithfulness is this. It's our belief in the word of the Lord and our obedience to what he says. So our faithfulness is not only believing that God's going to do something great in our life, but it's also our obedience to do what he says. See, if these armies, these three nations that had joined together, that had come together, that were in the wilderness, if they had banded together and got together, heard the word of the Lord and said, we believe that God's going to send water, and they would have dug no trenches, no ditches, they would have had no water. No water. No ditches, no water. The blessing of God would have passed them by. The blessing of God would have passed them by. Most of us miss a blessing because we don't like this. Most of us miss out on a blessing because we don't like this. Why? Because this is work. Why? Because this is hard. Why? Because this is boring. Why? Because this is pretty monotonous. It's the same thing over and over. And over, I prayed that prayer yesterday. I don't know if I can pray that prayer again today. I believe God. I confessed that scripture once. I don't know if I can do it again. And yet God is saying, if you want your blessing, it's time to get well acquainted with this. It's time to get to work. It's time to put legs to your faith. Faith without works is dead. You say, Pastor, I got calloused hands. Yeah, that's good. That just means there's more blessing coming your way. See, the bigger the trench, the more water. The deeper the trench, the more water. The wider the trench, the more water. You know, I mentioned to you that my wife and I were on vacation this past week. We went to the beach. There on the beach, we were sitting in Balboa. Some of you guys know that beach. It goes this big, steep incline down. And so we had a commanding view. We could see the pier over here. We saw some whale. I mean, it was so beautiful. God just blessed us with such a gorgeous day. We could see from the shore, out on the horizon, I saw a spout. And I looked. I said, Jess, look out there. A whale comes up. I was like, wow. Then, you know, there's these little guys on the Sea-Doos out there, you know, they're running wave runners and all that kind of stuff. Boats are out there. And we see pods of dolphins just like out by them, just doing their thing, going by and going this way and that way. We were just amazed. Well, at one point, you know, my son, my middle son, he started digging a hole. And he was just digging at that hole. My daughter joined in, helped him out, digging at the hole. Little son comes over. He starts digging the hole with him. And they're just digging. We stop. We play Frisbee, stop and eat something, right? Doing all this stuff. Finally, you know, my wife and I are sitting there, and we're just looking out, and we're just enjoying the view. And all of a sudden, Jess looks at me and says, Dan, where's Titus? Titus is our little one, okay, 4 years old, little guy. And he's just learning to swim. So, you know, that kid gets sucked out to sea. You know, he's gone. So she says, where's Titus? You know, we're looking all around, we're looking up and down, and we've got a good view. We can see everything, and there's nobody on the beach but us, really. I mean, we're just sitting there, and it's just us. So we're looking around, we don't see him. All we see down the beach, we see there's Chloe, there's Micah, and we see Micah's head popping out of the hole. Well, Micah goes down into the hole. Titus comes up out of the hole and goes back down in. Micah comes out of the hole. Titus goes down in the hole. What are they doing? Digging. You know what's in the bottom of that hole? Water. See, God gives us natural pictures all the time and says, you want your blessing, but you don't want to work. You want your blessing, you want to believe God and say, oh, bless God, I'm believing God. What are you doing to get a hold of it? What are you doing day to day? What are you professing? What are you saying? What are you praying? Where are you going? What are you doing? How are you going to get it? See, God is saying to us, that the amount of interest and attention that we give, the measure that you use will be measured back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. What is God saying to us? God is saying we need to get well acquainted with this. We need to break our backs with this. We need to get calloused hands with this. We need to go to work, church, moving and doing. See, they were told to make the valley full of ditches. The amount of water was determined by the amount of effort. We understand this in the natural when we come to measurements and all that kind of stuff. But listen, what we believe and work at most, God blesses most. Let me say that to you again. What we believe and work at most is what God blesses most. If you're not passionate about your relationship with God, you're half-hearted, you're casual, and you're not going after with God, God says, I'll meet you where you're at. You go halfway, God will come halfway. But if you are passionate, believing God, going after it, God is going to meet you where you're at, and God will meet you. You go all the way, God will meet you all the way. See, God is ready to go the distance for those who will believe him, who will cry out to him, who will pray, who won't let up, who won't let go. God is saying, let's get to work, church. Last stop for tonight. Our blessing and victory is brought through a connection with God. Our blessing and victory is brought through a connection with God. Let me remind you of verse number 20. In verse number 20, it says, now it happened in the morning when the grain offering was offered that suddenly water came by the way of Edom and the land was filled with water. Did you see it there? When did the water come? Came in the morning. When? It came in the morning when the grain offering was offered. What is God speaking to us? That grain offering was also called in the King James, Old King James, it was called the meat offering. It was a meal offering. What it was it was bread. It was mixed with oil. It was anointed with oil. It had salt on it. No honey and no leaven could be used on it. They would take a portion and give it to the priest, and the rest was offered up to the Lord. And this was offered in the morning, and it was offered in the evening. That offering symbolized our connection with God. In other words, it had to be pure. There couldn't be anything. The leaven couldn't be mixed in with it, right? Because that was other winds of doctrine, things that got in there that polluted it. We have to have a pure relationship with God. And that honey was like the deceitfulness. It was sweet. God says, I'm not sugarcoating this for you. Okay? Your relationship has to be pure with me. That salt, we know you are the salt of the earth. It was a preservative. It was purity. It was something that sustained it, and it gave flavor to it. And it was mixed with oil, the Holy Spirit, and it was anointed with oil. And so at that time where that connection with God was lifted up, the moment that they got their hearts in line with the will and the way of God, see, they had done the work. They had believed the word of the Lord. They had now done the work. They got busy. They dug some ditches. And after they dug their ditches in the morning, all they could do was trust and believe God. And the moment they had that connection with God in the morning at the meal offering that symbolized the communion, that wrapping around that relationship with God, then the water came. See, if you believe in God for something without God, you're not going to get it from God. If you're saying, God, I want this, but then you never connect with him, you're not going to get it. God's saying, you're only going to get it in relationship with me. I am more important. I am more powerful. I am the higher priority. I am all in all, and it's only in me and through me that you're going to get a hold of these things. It's in our connection with God that the victory and the blessing is brought. Not before, not after. It's in that connection with God. God will bring it in his timing, his will, his way. What happened? 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 21. Take a look at it with me. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 21 goes on to say this. And when all the Moabites heard that the kings had come up to fight against them, all who were able to bear arms and all who were gathered, and they stood at the border. Then they rose up early in the morning, and the sun was shining on the water, and the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. Now, I suppose it could have been that the morning sun was shining, and you know, because of the tilt of the earth and the rays of the sun, that, you know, the spectrum of light was shining, and just the reds were hitting the water, and therefore it was just that it looked like blood to them. But you know what? Let me tell you something. When God does something, he doesn't do something halfway. God does stuff all the way, and therefore it was a miraculous pouring out of water. It was a miraculous vision that these people saw. God was confusing the army. God was delivering the army into their hands. Because it says the Moabites saw the water on the other side as red as blood. If you've seen blood in a pool, you know it's not no red sunlight spectrum. It is red, it is deep, it is crimson, and it is supernatural that they would see water like that. The only thing that they could think of, that's blood, right? And it was red as blood. They said they must have slaughtered each other. Look at the next verse, verse 23. And they said, this is blood. The kings have surely struck swords and have killed one another. Now, therefore, Moab to the spoil. Right? Whenever the church looks like it's beat down, the world comes in to gather the spoil. Right? They want to come dance on our grave. They want to have a party. They want all the benefits of church, but they don't want to have church. They want all the blessings of God, but they don't want God. And so here they come in, Moab to the spoil. Verse 24, look at this. So when they came to the camp of Israel, I want you to notice something. These were wearied men. These were wearied animals. They finally got a drink of water. They didn't have strength to go and march again yet. So what did God do? God brought them to the camp of Israel. See, God will deliver the victory into your hands. You don't have to do anything. You just have to wait on the Lord and do it God's will, God's way. So here they come to the camp of Israel. Look at this. When they came to the camp of Israel, Israel rose up and attacked the Moabites so that they fled before them, and they entered their land, killing the Moabites. So they took the victory from their camp all the way to the enemy's camp. Isn't that amazing? See, the blessing doesn't stop at present need, but it goes on to your future victory. God will carry you from a point of need to a place of victory. It starts right where you're at, right here, right now. It starts in the presence of God. It starts with the will of God. When you get a hold of the Word of God and then you do the work of God, when you do your part, God will supernaturally bring it into your hands, and God will take you from present need to your future victory. All you have to do is follow the will of the Lord. Get a hold of that and go for it. Go after it. See, remember, once again, the original purpose of the trip was not to get water. The original purpose of the trip was to gain the victory. We can lose focus, we can lose sight of the goal when we get our eyes off of what God has called us to do, when we get our eyes onto our present need. God knows your present need. God will take care of you. God said, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. You don't have to worry about what you're going to wear. You don't have to worry about what you're going to eat. Don't have to worry about where you're going to live. The rest of the world seeks after those things. You seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Last verse for tonight, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. As the worship team comes, they're going to come on up here right now. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse number 57. I'll put it up on the overheads for you. Take a look at it with me. 1 Corinthians 15, 57. Look at this. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, sometimes I just get so sad when I see Christians defeated. I get so sad when I meet with people in my office telling me, Pastor, I'm broke, I'm busted, I'm disgusted. Marriage is a wreck. Things have not been going the way that I wanted them to go. But listen, church, it's time to start making room for the blessings. Time to start digging some ditches. Because I believe that God is going to do something new. I believe that God is going to do something supernatural in our lives.
Thank you for listening to the Rock Church and World Outreach Center. If this message spoke to you, please share it with us. We'd love to hear from you. You can find more information at www.rockchurch.com.